What's going on, superstar? This is Alex Pardo, and I'm back with episode 362 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What is up? What is up? I hope this podcast episode finds you doing amazing. Today's episode is with my friend, Mr. Dan Barrett from AdWords Nerds. And guys, we are going to get into some really, really cool stuff on today's episode. Just finished recording this. And so it's fresh in my mind. And I'm excited about a lot of what Dan shared. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes when I head into these masterclass interviews, sometimes I'm not 100% sure how it's going to go. And you know, in this particular case, I knew it was going to be straight fire. I didn't know it was going to be this good. You know, we got into a conversation about, you know, generating motivated seller leads online and what that looks like in today's landscape and environment. A lot of the changes going on with Facebook and how that specifically impacts us as real estate investors. And then from there, we really got into branding and content marketing and why that's so critical to be ahead of the curve. You know, it's so noisy and Facebook has made it somewhat challenging to connect with sellers at the time that they need to sell. And Dan reveals and talks about why it's so important to be ahead of the curve and to genuinely provide value, brand yourself as the expert in your market, and how you do that through content marketing and the strategy and what that looks like. So I'm excited for you to check out this episode, and I know you're going to get a ton out of it. So with that said, let's dive right in. What's going on, my friends? I'm excited to be back on another masterclass here. I got my friend, Mr. Dan Barrett, the AdWords nerd himself. What is up, my friend? How's it going?
It is going very well. Thank you so much for having me. I am very pumped to be here. So yeah, looking forward to it.
As am I. So I got to be totally upfront, Dan. I am having you on and I am going to be taking notes and learning along with anybody else listening to this because this is not my zone, brother. I don't know why. I just, you know, the some of the techie stuff and the ads online, it gets me, but I know it's critical. It's super important, especially in the landscape that we're in today with social media and everything else. So I'm excited to learn, hopefully, along with anybody else that listens to this episode.
Cool. Yeah. It's, I love that. Well, this is my zone. It's what I love to talk about. So yeah, man, it's my pleasure.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, hey, for anybody that doesn't know who you are, let's just give a quick, you know, 2 to 3 minute background of how you got involved in just marketing, online marketing. How did you start working with real estate investors? So kind of take us back a little bit and then we'll get into the heart of the content for the episode today.
Yeah, cool. So originally my kind of career plan was I was going to be a history teacher. So my kind of academic backgrounds, I've got a master's degree in history. I've got a master's in education. And that whole time I was kind of going through that process of becoming a teacher, I was playing in bands and like playing music. And for whatever reason, I was always the guy that like, you know, that like we needed a band website or like a band MySpace page or whatever, you know, we needed
at the time. MySpace, he so just like, took me back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was, you know, that was the thing. So it's like, I was the one that set that up. I was the one that like, you know, figured out how to get the shirts printed and what we needed to price them. So I was kind of like running the business of the bands and I just kind of became that guy. So part of that was marketing the bands and I was doing that for myself, just kind of promoting our own stuff and got pretty good at it. and started having people coming to me asking for help. So, you know, fast forward, I'm doing the teacher thing. Teachers, I don't know if you're aware, don't get paid a whole lot.
So, I think I've heard that once or twice, actually.
Yeah, especially if you're not like 10 years in. So I started freelancing, kind of doing web design and some online marketing for local businesses. And very quickly, I think my first year, I was making what I would have been making like 6 years into teaching.
Wow.
So I was just like, hey, I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to make that jump, and started freelancing full time. And did that for a couple of years and was always doing okay. But, you know, the woman who's now my wife, you know, we got married, we were conceiving our first son. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I really need to make more. I really need to focus, but I didn't know where to focus. So we were talking before we jumped on, we were talking about Tony Robbins.
Yep.
So I went to a Tony Robbins business seminar and I was like, I have to pick a target market. That's like my one goal. So I sat in the back and I'm sitting next to like four real estate investors. And they were all like, you need to work with real estate investors. And I had had one real estate investor randomly as a client, this guy, Dan Schwartz, who now runs Investor Views.
Yeah, I know Dan, good guy.
Best client. Yeah, it's my best client. And we would just like hit it off. We were talking about music and stuff. So I was like, this is a sign. Now I'm the real estate investing guy. So literally I just dove in. And so for the past 7 or 8 years, I have only worked with real estate investors, and even within that space, really only on motivated seller leads. And it was awesome, man. It was a great decision. We grew very, very quickly. So now we're a team of 10 at AdWords Nerds. And we just, the thing that I really love about it is because we're so focused, we get to be the ones that figure stuff out. Like, I don't have to go to someone and say what works. Like, I can just run a test across millions of data points and like figure it out. And it's so it's really fun and it's exciting, and it's been quite the ride so far, man. It's been great. I just did a presentation on this yesterday and we pulled the number. I think we've generated like 37,000 motivated seller leads.
Incredible.
Since we started. So
incredible.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's been cool from the outside looking in, you know, your trajectory and just the growth, and you're one of the experts in our space when it comes to just online marketing, whether it's SEO, PPC, Facebook, et cetera. So it's really cool to see how you've kind of carved out that niche and have been working with investors. 37,000 motivated seller leads. The narrative that I hear, you correct me if I'm wrong. This is not a statement. It's kind of more of a question, but at least from my experience, the narrative is that it's really difficult to generate motivated seller leads online, particularly when it comes to Facebook. PPC, depending on the market you're in, I know can be very expensive. Yeah. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, we were spending a couple thousand dollars a month here in Miami, and we couldn't even get our foot in the door with PPC with that kind of budget. Dispel some of the rumors or myths, or from your perspective, maybe what I've heard in the narrative that I'm hearing is accurate, that it is challenging to generate motivated seller leads online. What do people listening need to know about how to attract and generate and connect with the right seller audience when it comes to online marketing?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think part of the issue is that what real estate investors see now in their online marketing space is what every other business has been dealing with for like 7 years already. Right? Like, for whatever reason, like, real estate investing is like perpetually 5 years behind everyone for whatever reason. So when I started, we were literally the only company that was like, we'll generate motivated sellers online, which is literally insane, because this is like, it's like 2008 or 9 or something, like, you know, it's like not that long ago,
right?
And so, you know, every other industry was already filled with that stuff, but investors were just getting started. And what that meant was the investing space was cheap for a really long time. When you look at the ROI, let's say like wholesale deal, you're doing between 5 and 10K, right? Flip, you might be doing 20 to 40, right? Depending on your market.
Right.
If you look at that ROI on a single deal, and then you look at what we were paying per lead, we were paying like $30 a lead, $40 a lead, which is like, the ROI was just stupid. It was stupid for a really long time, right? And it took time for people to catch on that that was happening. And then when people caught on, people jumped into the market, right? And I would say like the online advertising space is a market, like the stock market is a market. Like,
exactly right.
Yeah, pork bellies are a market or whatever, right? So when everyone jumps in, the existing kind of supply gets gobbled up. The demand is high. When supply is low and demand is high, prices go up, right? That's what happens. So over time, like if you look at like when I got started to now, probably the cost for a single click on, let's say, Google or Facebook or whatever, depending on what data you look at and when you look at it, it's gone up anywhere from like 10 times to 24 times.
I believe.
Which I always say would like, it would be the equivalent, the equivalent sort of situation would be like if gas was $64 a gallon, like there would be like blood in the streets, right? Like everyone, like there were, it would be like the purge. It would be like,
I just got a visual in my head.
Yeah, it would be like Battle Royale. Pick your movie where everybody kills each other. And like, right, that's what it would be like. So that's what's happened in the real estate investing space. The thing is like, that doesn't mean it's impossible to do deals, because obviously it's like we generate deals every day, but like what it means is the easy money is kind of like not there anymore.
Yeah, the market has caught up.
Yeah, market's caught up, right? It's rationalized, and it will go up and down depending on what the housing market does and depending how hot real estate investing is. Like we're in a period where everyone wants to be a real estate investor. Like literally, like I think it like 10 years ago you had said, one of the most popular genres of TV show is going to be people doing real estate investing. Like I would have been like, who in their right mind, it would be like, it was like plumbing is going to be the new hot, like reality TV show, but it's like plumbing, it makes no sense. Right. So all that stuff's happening. So all that just means, the market is much tougher now, but like, if you have a strategy, if you have a roadmap, if you're actually looking at it, like if you're actually paying attention, it's totally doable. Like we run a coaching program for investors that come in with like no technical experience. They typically have a budget of like $1,000 a month. I would say like that's the average budget. Mm-hmm. And we see people doing deals like a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in. Like it's very possible, but it's just not. It used to be like throw a million keywords up at the wall and like, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Now it's just much tougher, but it's totally doable. I just think it's all about having the strategy. It's like anything else.
You know, what's one thing I wanted to ask you to get your thoughts on, and I've kind of, I feel like I'm straddling the fence here, because on one end, you know, you hear guys like the Gary V's of the world that say like, figure out how to generate, how to build an audience online, figure out how to market online. I mean, it's so critical. That's a skill that I think everybody really needs to know. Yeah. On the other side of the fence though, if that's not your unique ability, if that's just not it, that you just don't like it or you're just not good at it, I would advise, hey, focus on your revenue generating activities, you know, other types of marketing, negotiating, talking to sellers, building, you know, connecting with private lenders, your network. So where do you land on? Obviously, you guys provide a valuable service for people like myself that, hey, I don't want to dive into that and figure it out myself. And so obviously you have a service that you provide for real estate investors, but where do you land on like encouraging people like through your coaching program, for example, hey, let me teach you how to do this step 1, 2, 3, because it's valuable to learn, versus, hey, don't mess around with it. Focus on what you're good at and what you enjoy and let an expert handle it. Like what's kind of the balance in your mind between those two?
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes down to time versus money, right? And there are investors who have way more time than they have money. And there are investors that have way more money than they have time. And like, that's always the trade-off, right? Like I pay someone to run my own ads for my business because like really? I don't have the time to do them. Yeah.
Wow, like, that's crazy to me.
And I like it. I actually like it, but I just don't have time, right? I'm like, I know for a fact if I run my own stuff, you know, it's like the whole like the cobbler's son has no shoes kind of situation where it's like, I'm going to be working on other people's stuff. And then when it comes to my stuff, I'm like, I'll do that tomorrow. Yeah. And then I never do it. Right. And I just know that about myself, but
yes, of course,
right. I could totally do it if that made more sense for me. So I think it's like when you're starting out, makes a lot of sense to like do it yourself and learn it because, hey, if that's one of the channels you're going to use to bootstrap yourself up, awesome, right? And we have a lot of people, like the coaching program, it's like we have a lot of people send a VA through it. So they'll like get a VA, or they'll have like, my nephew is awesome with computers, he's going to work with me. They'll run them through the program, and they're kind of building an asset in the office, right? So that's
understood.
But you know, the other thing is that, like, you know, I have a reputation, and maybe it's like earned, where, you know, I'm like the online leads guy. I love online stuff. I mean, it plays to all my personality,
your strengths,
right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't poo-poo like other marketing channels. Like, right. It's like, if someone's like, hey, direct mail, my thing, like ringless voicemail and like cold calling, that's going to be my thing. Awesome. Like, I don't think everyone needs to do online in the same way. Mm-hmm. I do think the difference is that I think you could build a real estate investing business with no cold calling if you wanted to do that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think you can get away with having nothing online. Like, I think you need, if someone Googles your company name and they find you, I think you need that as a bare minimum. But beyond that, I think it's largely a matter of, what are you good at? What's happening in your competitive landscape? You know, what kind of property are you going after? Like, online lead generation lends itself to a certain kind of marketing. And like, if that's not your thing, you know, like cold calling isn't my thing. If I cold called 4,000 people in my market, I mean, I'd be dead, much less like successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got like, you.
Yeah, so, you know, you always got to lean to your strength. But, you know, if you can hire someone, you have money to do that, and you don't have the time to do it, and you want to add it to your business portfolio, hire someone. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, and that's a great answer, you know, and it sounds obvious now that I listen to you say it, but yeah, you have to ask yourself, you know, what's the asset that you bring to the table? Do you have more time? And if so, you know, it makes sense to learn this and figure it out. Or do you have some money? And you want to hire an expert like Dan to take care of it, and just so you can focus on other things. So makes a lot of sense. I want to kind of pivot and transition into Facebook. There's obviously, you and I were talking about it before we hit the record button, how there's so many changes going on because of the class action lawsuit. And man, you've probably forgotten more about this than I know. So talk to us about the significant changes going on in the Facebook world and how that impacts us as investors.
Yeah. So Facebook is an interesting sort of situation, because in terms of pay-per-click advertising channels for sellers, it's been one of the cheaper ones for a really long time. And, you know, the catch with Facebook has always been that those leads, I don't think those leads convert as well to deals, but they're cheaper. So it's kind of like, I would say it's like, you know, penny candy versus like a single giant Snickers bar. It's like, you get a lot of this one, but they're like Necco wafers, and you know, that's fine. And then you have like Snickers bar, which is the king of candy bars, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, all right, you just kind of choose like which one you want to go. And both of them.
By the way, man, I would challenge that, man. I haven't had them in a long, long time, but I would challenge you. Butterfinger might, you know, for me, but
Butterfinger is a solid answer. I will also accept Butterfinger. Or like, you know, I won't even accept like Baby Ruth or whatever.
No. All right. Cool. Bart Simpson, by the way, but okay.
So, right, you know, but whatever where you want to go, right, you're getting a lot of cheaper stuff, or you're getting fewer or higher quality leads. Both those are totally legitimate. And actually, like, for our clients, generally, we do both, right? So, you know, but in any case, that's been the case for a long time. But Facebook, basically ever since the election where Trump got elected the first time, has been like on their heels dealing with a million and one issues. And one of these was this class action lawsuit that was brought by the ACLU. It basically said that, you know, there are a lot of people running ads for housing opportunities on Facebook. So like, I'm selling a house, I can run an ad on Facebook, or like, I want to, or, you know, whatever, I want to buy a house, I'm a realtor. But if you think about it, part of what you can do in Facebook is you can select certain age groups, certain, you know, demographics, you can select specific zip codes. And so the ACLU argument was, this is basically the equivalent of redlining, like redlining a district and being like, you know, like in the 50s and 60s, this was very common, where people would be like, this zip code right here, we're going to modify the local property laws to keep minority groups out. That was like the whole point. And it was this endemic problem, which is why we have the Fair Housing Act today. That's specifically meant to combat that practice. The ACLU argument was basically what Facebook allows people to do is that, but because it's online, they get away with it. Hmm. And so whether you like believe that that's true or not, or whether you think that's an accurate argument, Facebook in the current kind of climate of like, people are like, Russia uses Facebook to like send propaganda to people. I'm like, all this stuff is happening with Facebook. Facebook just settled the ACLU lawsuit rather than fighting it out. So what they ended up saying they were going to do is they're like, okay, we're going to put significant restrictions on certain kinds of advertising. And so that was about like a year ago that that first came out. Mm-hmm. Literally, we're recording this in sort of, you know, like the October, November timeframe. That stuff has finally started rolling out. So now when you go to create an ad as an investor, when you go through the ad creation process at Facebook, there's a little checkbox that says, are you in a special advertising category, which is housing and financing, and there's a few other ones.
All right.
So if you select that, what ends up happening is your targeting options are dramatically reduced. So for example, the amount of zip codes you can target is like limited to, I think it's like limited to one.
Really?
You can't pull demographic data. You can't pull any sort of like ethnicity data, although that's been kind of like out of the loop for a long time, but you can't do that. In terms of like interests, I think you can only choose one instead of multiple ones, and you can't layer them. The reach of those ads is like significantly reduced. So it is like hammer time, like on those ads. And so we've been running ads for clients like on Facebook for literal years. And it's like all of a sudden those campaigns do not work anywhere near like what we would expect. Now there are people out there, there are investors out there right now. So when that first started happening, what we would do is we would contest it. So we would email Facebook and be like, we are not selling properties, we are buying them. And therefore this does not count as, you know, sort of falling under this, the umbrella of this lawsuit, right? Because we're not limiting who can move into a neighborhood.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So, and for a while that was working. And like lately it's not, so it's not working. Then we tried just not clicking the box. So we just were like, what if we just don't click the box? And for a while that was working.
Yeah.
And now pretty much everything we publish gets flagged almost immediately. So I honestly don't know where this is going to shake out. I do think that what this is doing, this is going to push real estate investor marketing in a very different direction than what our industry has done for like the last 25 years. Because, and this is like when we're both in Collective Genius. We're actually, there's a lot of people talking about this at the last meeting that I was at. And part of it is just people are realizing the way investor marketing has worked forever is you get a highly motivated seller in the moment they want to sell, you buy the house. It's a very short sales cycle. It's like this moment, right?
Yep. You get it's a lot moment. Of timing.
Yeah, it's all about timing. And it's like our clients forever, if we send them a lead and that lead doesn't close right away, they say, this is a bad lead, right? It's not a warm lead. That's what warm lead means in our industry is like, they are ready to go, right? Yeah. I always say like, the house is on fire and I need to sell it, right? It's like, that's the situation. What this is going to do is prevent, at least on Facebook, prevent that kind of targeting from being effective. And so what we need to do to make up for it is move up in like upstream from the moment of the sale. So if you are doing general marketing, like if you're just like, I am Alex, I am the real estate guy in my market. Mm-hmm. I'm the real estate guy. Right. And what you do is you put yourself out there, you build a sense of like local celebrity, local fame. Everyone knows you when it is time for them to sell. They think of you first and reach out to you.
So now isn't this a conversation then of branding and you know, that's what I'm hearing, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely. So I think it's like, I was just talking about this, where you have companies like Zillow and Trulia and Knock and Opendoor, these companies are spending billions of dollars to advertise directly to sellers. Uh-huh. And the way we combat that is by being the dominant local brand, because you cannot scale effective local relationships and local branding as local celebrity, right? You can only scale a corporate sense of that. But I can never be Alex, the local guy, in every market, right? Yeah. I have to be local, Alex, the local guy in my market. And so, you know, investors have spent essentially zero time worrying about branding and learning how to brand themselves and like learning how to do that effectively. We haven't had to. No one's had to do that. We could just go out into the marketplace and scoop up sellers at the absolute last possible minute because there was no other option for them.
Yeah.
So all we had to say is, I'll buy your house. Now, not only is it harder to get in front of those people, Zillow wants to buy their house. Trulia wants to buy their house. Opendoor wants to buy their house. The realtor in your market now is like buying homes, right? It's like competition is intense. So what you need to do is be like, how can I get people to know, like, and trust me before they need to sell?
Yeah.
And that is a total 180 from the way that everybody's been thinking about investor marketing.
Yeah.
And I think the bright side to that is that it's easier to do that today than it's ever been, but it's still a leap for a lot of investors. And I think a lot of people are just closing their eyes and pretending it's not happening.
Yeah.
And they're saying the market's going to correct. All these companies are going to go out of business. And I'm like, yeah, like Netflix might go out of business, but the idea of Netflix ain't going anywhere.
Correct.
And yeah.
And so, it's crazy, man, because, you know, and you kind of touched on this earlier on in the show, but dude, as investors, we're dinosaurs when it comes to marketing, especially online marketing. Like you were talking about 2008, 9, 10, most industries were already onto online marketing and faith, and investors are like, you know what? We can generate leads online. Like, how does that work? And so how do we now, I guess the question that comes to mind, if I'm at the gym or in the car, I'm listening to this episode, I'm wanting myself to ask, how do we start to brand ourselves as the local experts? Does this come down to a content marketing strategy? Is that where the conversation lies? And if so, how do we go about this? It's not PPC. It's not a light switch where this just happens overnight and boom, we're the expert. What do we need to start putting into place to brand ourselves as the local real estate guy or gal in the market?
Yeah, I think there are multiple ways to do it. I mean, I think, you know, you could do this in a relationship-based way. You know, you could do it in a local networking way. So I don't think online is the only way to do it. Online, I think it's the fastest way to do it at scale, right? And that's my wheelhouse. But I think there are multiple ways to do this. I think that, you know, if I was going to do this online, the thing that we have been working with and the thing that works really well is by, doing a sort of content strategy where we are spending money to promote our content, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not asking for their house, right? What we're doing is saying, here's a valuable piece of content. Here's a valuable piece of content. We're educating our space and we're doing that at scale. So like Facebook's a really good example. If I do videos on Facebook, I can push that video to basically everyone in my zip code for $30, right? And if you think about like what it would cost you to run a TV commercial for 3 minutes, right? Yeah, in your market, it's a lot. I could do it for $30 in Facebook. Now I could do that 10 times and see which videos people watch and which don't, and use that to drive what I talk about, right? Yep. I can say, you know, to add another layer onto that, I can then say, okay, like let's say I put out a video about the Atlanta housing market, right? And I push that out there, I push it out to everybody. Now I want to start to show a different video only to people who watched half of my first video.
There you go.
So now you're just segmenting people out. Who was interested enough in what I said to watch about half of it? That's a minute and a half. Again, it's like longer than your average TV commercial by a significant margin. So you're saying, cool. Who watched half of that? Now I want to give them different pieces of information. And then only if they watch that new video, then I'm going to ask for the lead. then I'm going to say, hey, by the way, I buy houses. Do you know anyone who wants to sell their house? You need to sell your house, right? But at this time, they're like, you know, at this moment, they feel like they know me already. They just spent 3 minutes watching me talk about the housing market.
Which, right? Believe it or not, is a long time. It might not sound like it, but that's a long time.
It is an eternity online. It's an eternity. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you think about what that does, like psychologically, what it does to people is if you are sitting in front of a screen and you're watching me talk about real estate to you, it immediately frames me, like literally and figuratively, right, as an expert. I'm the one passing the information. And it's like, you get this weird thing where, like this happens to me. Like I'll go to a real estate investing event and people will like be like, oh, hey, you're the guy. And it's kind of like you're famous. But it's like they don't realize I'm only famous to like 120 people because I just spam their Facebook timeline. Yeah. You know what I mean? But they've seen me like 100 times.
Yeah.
And so even if you're not, you know, YouTube's a great example of this. Another place you can do this. All right. You can show ads on YouTube. I'm sure you've seen it. You go on YouTube and you do a thing and you have to see the little ad. And then you get the little thing that says click to skip. Right.
Yeah. Skip ads.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. How this works is if they skip it, you don't pay for it. Okay. You pay nothing. But they have to sit there for 10 seconds before they can skip it. Mm-hmm. So if you told me, like, I can put you on TV for 10 seconds, you won't pay anything unless someone actually goes to your website. Everyone would flip out. That is like the greatest deal in the history of advertising. Yeah. Because all I have to say in 10 seconds is, hi, my name is Dan Barrett and I buy houses and blah, blah, blah. Now, if I show that ad enough times, they're going to see that 10 seconds of me saying who I am and what I do probably like 250 times over the course of, let's say, 6 months. Mm-hmm. And when they need to sell, it's like,
guess what they
sell. I'm going to think like, I'm never enough sold the blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like they think it's in their brain. I have been in front of their face for 10 seconds, you know, 250 times. That's a long time to pay nothing. Right. So in terms of like what is available to us, nothing on that scale has ever been available to anybody ever. It is a new world. And I think investors are very quickly going to realize there is a lot of money to be made by doing that. Because we're so used to saying, well, people looked at my ad 100 times and no one sold me their house. Therefore, this ad is a failure. Right? We don't think of it in terms of, I exposed my brand to 100 people for free.
Right. There you go. And with the analytics that Facebook has, and you can speak to this a lot better than I can, it'll tell you which ads and are being consumed and which aren't, you know, and then you can double, triple down on the ones that are getting more views or you know, any length of time. What I find fascinating in our space, Dan, is that, man, I remember 2 years ago, cold calling was like, that was like the new thing. Like, wow, people are cold calling for deals. And then after cold calling, I think it was like RVMs. And it's like, there's always a small segment of our industry that's kind of ahead of the curve when it comes to this. One of the things I've taken from this episode is that, dude, in 6 to 12 months, it might not be as cheap to get that same video out to my zip codes and to my marketplace. Like the market will catch up similar to how it did years ago. So what advice would you give us as far as, all right, it's one thing to understand, hey, I know I need to be putting more content out there and be ahead of the curve with sellers as far as when they might want to sell. Now, what type of content do I need to be putting out? How long should these videos be? Should they be on my iPhone where I just take a selfie and record a video? Should they be a little bit better produced? Where do you kind of land on some of those questions that might be bouncing around in people's heads?
Yeah, I mean, so to like, I'll give you some specifics and then I'm going to give you the guiding sort of mental framework that's going to help you make this decision. Because again, it's like, I'm going to talk about what's current now and like 5 years from now, you know, whatever, we'll be on hoverboards in virtual reality or something. And it's like, you know, it'll be different. Right now, what I see working the best is plain, like, just like you said, selfie videos on your computer, not a lot of production, quick. So like, especially in the beginning, I would say like you're aiming for like a minute to 2 minutes.
Okay.
I cannot for the life of me make a video that is a minute long. All my videos are 3 minutes long.
It's hard.
Learning disability or yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah. I talk, you could tell I like to talk. So it's like, I'm like, but I don't sweat it. I'm just like, I'm going to put this out. Right. So you just put it out. And I would say like all things, what you're going to do is you're just going to look at what works. What do people watch? What do people consume the most of? What do people click on? Like, do people like it? Do people comment on it? You're just looking for like, hey, did this land? It's just like being a stand-up comedian. You're working on, you know, on jokes, and you just like throw a joke out there and the audience laughs. You're like, cool, I'm going to work on that one. And if like it bombs, you're just like, maybe I won't roll that one out again.
Yeah.
Right? So it's that. But the guiding mental framework, right? The principle that you want to think about is there's two things. People want to work with people that they feel like are like them. Mm-hmm. So that is like, am I local? Do I kind of talk the same way you do? Do I talk in a way? So it's like, I don't try to like talk down to people. Like I'm the expert. I make it so that I'm like, I am a normal person. And I'm further ahead than you are, and I'm coming back to help you out.
That makes sense. Right? Yeah, I got it.
And people like, you know, people like people who are like them. And then the other thing is just that, like, you don't have to worry. People really catch on when you legitimately let go of the need to be compensated. So, like, if you say, I'm going to provide you straight up value. I'm going to make your life better. And I am not going to ask you to pay me back for it. I'm not going to ask you to compensate me. I'm not going to get your email. I'm not going to get whatever. I'm just going to give you value.
Yep.
People notice that. And if you think about like, look at the other investors in your space, who is actually doing that? And I would like really challenge people because I'm just as guilty of this as everyone. Like, I'll write a blog post and like, I wrote this blog post to get me clients, right? People can tell.
Yeah.
People can tell. So if you just say like, and this is true, I've noticed this, like the investors who do really well, like in person with people, they go in with the mindset of like, I'm here to help you out of your situation. If it ends up with me buying the house, awesome. All I'm here to do is figure out if that can work, but I'm going to make sure that you end up better than when before I got here.
I love it.
And that is a, it pays off in the long run, the less you worry about whether it's paying off. And as an ads person, it hurts me physically to say that because like ROI is what I think about, right? Return on ad spend is what I think about. But when you're talking about branding and you're talking about building goodwill, which is what this is about, you have to let go of that. And you just have to say, how do I help my people? And if you can do that, it is pretty massive to watch what happens.
Yeah, bro, there's a tremendous amount of wisdom in what you just shared. Again, I think of Zig Ziglar, who said this moons ago, you know, you help enough people get what they want, inevitably you're going to get what you want. And it kind of falls right in line, whether it's in person, online, or otherwise. So then I guess as we start to kind of wind down the show here,
yeah,
what percentage of people's budgets do they need to be allocating towards content marketing, even though them understanding they're not going to see an ROI for a while? And to your point, they probably shouldn't even be thinking about ROI. They should just be thinking about providing value and just branding. There's value in putting yourself or your business out there. You know, because we live in a microwave society, right? Like most investors out there don't have $20, $30, $50, $100,000 budgets like some of the guys in our mastermind do. And even then, those guys are really trying to scale it back as well. So do you recommend, I mean, everybody's going to be case by case, but generally speaking, do you recommend people take a certain percentage of their budget, throw it towards content marketing, knowing that they got to pay bills, they got to, you know, feed their families, their team, people need to make money, right? So where do you kind of land on, we know this is important, and we understand it's probably not going to yield any results for a while, and we need to be okay with that because the goal is to provide value. The goal is not to generate money. So doesn't it boil down to like, how do we go about doing this without it compromising the revenue that we probably need to generate?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think if you're going after like straight lead generation, I usually say, you know, you need about $1,000 a month, you know, probably 2,000 as a minimum if you want to really be aggressive with it. Uh-huh. For this kind of marketing, it's a lot cheaper. So what I'll typically say is like, you want to give this a shot and you're kind of slow rolling it, which you should do. You should slow roll it. You should test it, see how it works. You're really looking at like $200 to $500 a month. 200 is probably fine, right? I mean, it depends on your market. If you're like New York City, it's a little different. Yeah. But if you're like, hey, it's my local market, $200 is probably fine, because all you're doing is getting in front of people. And when you're not sending them off of Facebook to like convert to a form, it's actually way cheaper to do that. So, and I always say like, start small. So like, throw a couple $100 at it, see how it works. Just see like, and just think of it like, this is my experimental kind of test. Yeah. So it's almost like I'm giving back with this, right? And see how that goes for a while. And when you start to have stuff that's connecting, you'll notice. And that's when you start to ramp it up, right? You start to ramp it up, start to spend a little more. You start to throw in ads that are straight lead generation ads. Because at that point, they know you already, right? And I would say like, you know, classic investor ad is what? Picture of a house falling down, mm-hmm. little yellow thing that says, we buy houses, right? No personality. Yeah. And so I'm saying like, and that works, but like when you know people in your market and people know you, then you just put your face on it and you're like, hey, remember me? Like I also buy houses. And then people are like, oh, cool. You know right. what I mean? So I think it's, you start to grow that stuff as you start to see results. But I actually think the ROI can happen very quickly, because it is, you are getting a lot of people very aware of you. So the people that like do need to sell right now, mm-hmm. as long as they can figure out what you do, they will still come to you. Right.
Got it.
But I do think it's a longer time frame for sure than just like straight PPC, for example.
Okay. And last couple of questions for you, Dan, as far as this is concerned, are you advising people to focus on just one platform, that being Facebook versus YouTube or Instagram or, you know, anything else specifically if they're trying to target motivated sellers?
I mean, I think the strategy that we found to work best today is actually a combination of things. All so right. For a long time, I was calling it multi-channel lean strategy. I've been told that that is not a catchy name and that I'm a terrible marketer and I should call it something cooler. So like we've been testing like big fish, small pond strategy. But the idea is that, you know, to get to a big deal volume on like any one channel is very complicated because there's a lot of competition. So instead, what we do is we cherry pick the most efficient, most effective stuff in every channel. And right. that might not be enough to get the deal volume that we want by ourselves, right? So instead, what we do is we add those up all together, and that does give us a significant lead.
Understood.
Volume. So that's kind of the strategy that we've been using. I think it's like whenever you put all your eggs in a single basket, and like, look, like I called my company AdWords Nerds. Like, obviously, I love Google AdWords, but I was no longer comfortable putting all of our eggs in a single company's basket, uh-huh. right? So I always want multiple marketing channels, sort of multiple streams of leads coming in. And if you're, you know, you're spending 2,000, you're doing 1,000 on Google, 1,000 on Facebook, you know, you're not spread all over the place, but at least you're diversified a little bit. And that helps a lot.
Dan, I can't thank you enough. This has been super, super informative. You know, I really appreciate you coming on here and just educating not just our audience, but I've learned a ton as far as just how I need to be thinking about this, whether I decide to take this on myself or hire someone like you. Really appreciate it. Obviously, you have a service that you know, you work specifically with real estate investors. And so we have a link set up, guys. If you want to go and connect with Dan, just have a conversation, see if it's something that makes sense. FlipEmpire.com/AdWords. By the way, Dan, for ever since we launched this show, has been one of the recommended resources on our on resources on FlipEmpire.com. So, you know, outstanding reputation. You know, I've known of him for a while. We're a part of the same mastermind. Really good guy. Obviously knows his stuff and really specializes in working with real estate investors. So go check out, you know, that resource and connect with Dan if you have any interest. But if you take nothing else from this, start doing something in this space. And I would highly encourage you to start creating some content that doesn't aim at converting a lead into an appointment to deal, but just genuinely wanting to help people and add value. So, Dan, any parting thoughts or anything else you got? We'll obviously include all this in the show notes, but anything else before we wrap this up?
No, I think you actually ended it perfectly, man. And I would just say to people, like, I know investors are not typically the most technical people. And I would say if you're out there and you're thinking about this kind of stuff, but you're letting that technical obstacle kind of hold you back, it's way more learnable than you think it is, I promise. So just do something and build a little bit every week, and pretty soon you'll be far and away ahead of your competition. So just get out there and make it happen, and always feel free. You can reach out, just like Alex said, you can reach out to me via his website, and I'm happy to talk to anybody about anything. So if you ever have a question, just hit us up. I'll be happy to help.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for dropping the nuggets. And guys, I can't thank you enough. I genuinely appreciate that. There's so many podcasts out there. There's so many ways to consume content. I'm grateful. I'm just genuinely appreciative of you taking, 45 minutes of your time to listen to Dan and I. I'm confident you got something out of this. Now it's what you do with it that's going to determine your results moving forward. So appreciate you. And Dan, thank you, my friend. I know we will see each other at Date with Destiny here in about a month, which I'm pretty excited for. Excited. I'm happy to find out that you're going to be there. So hopefully we can connect and experience some breakthroughs together.
All right. Well, listen, I will tackle Tony Robbins from behind and you get him from the front, and we should be able to.
That might take both of us, because I'm not a big guy. So. All right, brother. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.